You are welcome to another exciting episode of CADA Matters. CADA Matters is an awareness raising program of CADA. CADA is an acronym for Church Against Domestic Abuse, a UK-based charity working to prevent and end domestic abuse, especially in Christian homes. Listen to this episode with Gracilis so as to build healthy relationships and keep your home and relationships abuse-free.
Michelle, we are very delighted to have you. I was just saying that you're a very on-time person and you have indeed turned up on time. So yeah. Thank you so much for turning up on time. And thank you once again, everybody, for joining us today. Thank you also to all those who would watch this IGTV video later. We understand that a lot of people are busy, having several things to do. So luckily, Instagram has made it possible for people to do a catch-up at the end of the day. And so thank you all for catching up, and thank you all for coming live. And this evening on CADA Matters, we will be discussing domestic abuse and the police. Interestingly, we brought several professionals to talk to us about domestic abuse, and for today, it's the turn of the police. A very common saying is the police is your friend. Several people have encountered several things that make them feel that that statement is not totally correct, or we have some issues with that statement. I'm very sure that at the end of today, with our discussion with Sergeant Michelle, we're going to have perhaps a very different perspective of what the police, you know, can do and what they are all about. Yes. And so I'm not going to take much of your time. I'm going to allow Sergeant Michelle to introduce herself to us this evening. We just would like to know you. A lot of people have been, I sent this video in my secondary group and someone said, oh, the video where you're speaking in Igbo, I'm sure a lot of people wonder what she said. Somebody interpreted, this is what she said. She's saying there are vacancies, you know, in West Midland Police. So, Michelle, do you want to talk to us about yourself, please?
Yes. Right. So, my name's Michelle Gweze. I moved to Birmingham and joined the West Midlands Police going back about 17 years now. I'm a sergeant. Worked as a police constable for some years and then became a sergeant. So I worked as a custody sergeant. I don't know if you've heard about it, where we deal with criminal justice. So around the criminal justice system, so I was just generally dealing with offenders. And then I also worked as a neighbourhood officer, as a response officer, those ones you see driving around fast cars. But my current role now is a neighbourhood sergeant in Birmingham City Centre, that's the West Midlands Police. And before then, 4 years I did recruitment, so everything about BME, Black, Asian, not ethnic minority recruitment, so I did that for about 4 years. So my current role is neighbourhood policing now. So I've been in the job about 17 years, I've got three children.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got three children. My son's in third year university. My daughter's just going in September. And I've also got a 13-year-old. So, yeah, it's, that's me in a nutshell. And my husband works in Birmingham also.
Okay. So for those of you who do not know, Michelle also did some recruitment. And I'm sure she could also help you if you're looking at recruitment. Really. So I know you said you've been a police officer for a long time now, and you've just told us a little bit about the journey. I know being a police officer means that you must have come across domestic abuse. I mean, working as a custody officer, working as a neighborhood police. Could you just let us know, as in, what exactly did you deal with domestic abuse, and if how serious is the crime of domestic abuse?
In comparison to Nigeria, in fact, I forgot to mention, I'm actually originally from Delta State, and my husband is from Enugu State. So the Igbo you heard me speaking, I had to learn it. So
oh god, I was deceived. When I watched it at first, I was like, I didn't know how Michelle could speak Igbo fluent.
Yeah, well, trust me, I was reading from a script. Right behind.
Oh, okay.
Right, going back to your question about dealing with domestic abuse, as I'm not sure what it is in Nigeria now, but domestic abuse is one of the most challenging crimes to deal with here. challenging in regards to how we deal with it. And, you know, back in the days, years and years ago, domestic abuse wasn't taken very seriously, even in the UK here, where when an incident happens or a woman or a man reports an incident, the idea was to say, well, deal with it in-house. But now domestic abuse has been taken so seriously that once it's reported by law, we, as in the police, would have to take action. So the action could be to lock someone up for it. The chances are, no matter how low risk it is, the police are expected to lock the offender up, whoever the offender is, and also support the victim. So it is taken seriously because sometimes we prosecute even if it's a victimless crime, meaning if the victim doesn't want to take it any further, we have to prosecute sometimes. Just because of the vulnerability and the seriousness of what domestic abuse is. And, you know, I haven't got figures, but, you know, there's a lot of figures out there about how the death from domestic abuse, because the police don't take it seriously. So we take it very, very seriously now.
Okay. I think WHO figures tell us that one in every four women, you know, would experience domestic abuse at one point or the other. And then we have figures that say that in every 3 minutes, the police gets a call for domestic abuse. You know, and I'm beginning to wonder because, you know, from where we're coming from, most times we saw the police as either standing on the road, sort of like helping out traffic or dealing with armed robbers. So what exactly is the role of police? I think now the police seems to have, like, when it comes to domestic abuse, is that they are putting their hands into the business in the house. What is the role of police when it comes to domestic abuse? And then you said that sometimes people can call up the police. What can we expect, you know, from the police when we bring up, you know, to give a domestic abuse distress call to the police?
Right. So when you like any other crime, like any other serious crime, once you ring the police, we will take action. So if there's an immediate danger, then you should expect officers to turn up. So it might not just be one, it might not be two, it might be two or three cars driving straight down to your house. So by law, we have to do that. So expect response. So if you ring regards to domestic abuse, if it's ongoing, then there will be immediate response. If it's not ongoing, for instance, if you ring and you report historic crime, like, you know, some years back you did this, then officers will come to you. They will follow up. They will come and take statements, or they might video interview you with regards to what you've reported. But generally, there will be response. Definitely will be response.
Oh, okay. So immediately you call the police, you get some form of response.
Yes.
Or the other. So yeah. Apart from this response that the police does, is it possible then that if the police does respond, then I'm wondering, why do a lot of people not call the police when it comes to domestic abuse? I mean, if the police are law enforcement agents, they are going to do something about it. What are the barriers that you have seen, you know, in all these almost 2 decades of working in the police force? What are the barriers you have seen when it comes to, you know, domestic abuse and the police, and what are those things that hamper your ability to carry out your work to help people? And then especially when it comes to the BME community, what are those issues that you have seen that are sort of like barriers and are weighing us down?
I think that's where the main issue is with regards to Black and ethnic minorities. I mean, if you think back in Nigeria, how many women would actually report their husbands, you know, or how many men report their wives beating them up? It's hard.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I remember.
Thank you for joining.
I remember one of the cultures. I think that there's one where they say if your husband loves you more, he'll beat you more, something like that. So you know, generally, I think one of the issues we face here is lack of reporting, especially within the BAME communities. The fear of reporting. One, you know, the fear of shame. What would his family say? What would my family say? Would he get reported? You know, would the police take it seriously? There are various reasons why people don't report it. But we always, if you're going through domestic abuse at home, I would advise you report it, because it just gets worse and worse. And worse, and we see it getting worse. Sometimes, I mean, they say usually before a woman reports domestic abuse, most likely has happened more than 5 times or more. So we would say, report it. The police will take it seriously. You should be ready to take it further because you'll be given the choice to give a statement. And one of the problems we face is the victims not taking any further. So we take your statement, we prepare the case for court. And when it's time to actually charge, which would be you, as a custody sergeant, I would charge the offender. We get victims saying, oh, I'm too scared. I don't want to take it any further. I don't want the police to take it further because I don't want him to lose his job. Or, you know, I don't want to get deported. I don't want his family to be, you know, angry, or my family. I don't want to be divorced. So we get all that, which definitely hinders our work. If it's very serious, then we would carry on with the charges. But if we haven't got any evidence, then usually it would be either no further action. If you decide that you want to take it further and it's low level, like common assault, which maybe was a, you know, maybe she pushed you or she pushed you, or, you know, just nothing serious, then we could also go towards the line of no further action from our side, or he is then made to go on the course. And I'll talk more about the course later on. So it's what we call a conditional bail, where there are conditions for him to either get anger management courses or go on a course around domestic abuse and the impact it has on the victim. So there are different ways we deal with it. But just remember, we can't deal with it if you don't report it, if you don't want to take it further. It just makes the case really hard for us to deal with.
Okay, that's interesting, because I think another, you've said that there's the fear of people, you know, their partners getting deported. I think there's also the fear of people thinking they will be deported. There's the fear, I think, also of people, of the police themselves. As in, there's also something about the police force. You just see somebody in uniform and you start having this, like, cold fever. It's not, I don't know, it happens almost everywhere. You're just in your house and the next thing, some police cars come into the street, everybody starts peeping which house has the police gone to and all of that. So there's this sort of like shroud mystery around the police or the police force that makes people sometimes not realize that the police are actually approachable. They are actually people who, they have feelings, they understand the kind of feelings that we're going through, and they also understand how most people also feel about reporting their spouses or doing things like that. But I think, like you said, the work of the police is crucial, and it's important for us to report. Because sometimes when you don't report something, there's going to be, you will not have any evidence, and you might need this evidence later on.
Later on in time.
Well, apart from that, I'm just wondering, are there some other things? Because someone was saying to me at one time that, okay, well, do you know that it's not every time the police, you could ask the police to actually just warn the person, like give the person a serious warning without actually taking the person away? Because a lot of women and people generally are concerned, just like what you said, if someone is in a professional job that, you know, having a criminal record would almost tantamount to them being called to a fitness to practice, you know, somehow in the name of love and for the sake of love, you don't want to be the one who is held responsible for career. Breaking up someone's career, really. And so a lot of people, so what are the things also that can actually be done? Is there something that can be done in a way that effectively, but not getting down to that eventual path that will bring like a criminal prosecution? I understand that it's a crime, but are there some things that the police can actually do, you know?
Yes, we've got options. I mean, if your wife, I mean, I keep saying wife or husband, because not just women go through domestic abuse. We know women, not just women go through it. We know men are also victims, and they find it harder to even report this incident because of pride, or, you know, you're a man, why would a woman deal with you? So what we could do, when, first of all, it depends on what type of crime it is. So, for instance, if your wife has, you know, hit your head with or stabbed you with a knife, and you ask the police to warn him, I don't think we can go down that line, because that is quite serious, isn't it? So the next level is death or killing you. Or if it's something really minor, really, really minor, which could happen, shouldn't, but it could happen, then that could be your first line. So when they come out, you have to tell them at the start that I just want him warned. Can you speak to him about this incident? You know, can you tell him to stop harassing me? Because I have different types of domestic abuse. It's not just assault. And the police can. So, for instance, if that was the first time you've ever reported it and we've locked him up and you're saying, I don't want to go to court for this, I just want him warned, we would, no further action from our side, but we could also give him conditions. So, as I said earlier, the conditions could be for him to attend what we call a CARA course. I don't know the full meaning, but it's a CARA course in Birmingham where offenders, they attend, they're sort of taught different things, how to manage their temper, how to take care of their spouses, impact of their behavior, especially consequences of their behavior and where they could, you know, their behavior could take them to. And there's usually what we call a community resolution where you and your spouse will then sit down and we will, there'll be an agreement as to possibly what we call code of conduct or
behavior,
you know, behavior. So we could do that, but it just depends on the level of the offense. So if it's low level, we can do that. If it's almost murder, I'm sorry. I'll be worried for your own life. Even if you say, you know what, don't push it, I would personally push it and make sure it goes to prison, to court for it. I mean, one of the issues around people being afraid of people's, you know, oh, if I report this, my husband might lose his job and all that. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But if he cares or she cares about her job so much, then why would she assault you? Why would you be put through those stress of domestic abuse, which would have a severe impact on your life? Think about it. If he cares about his job so much, then he'll think about you. So when people think about jobs, think about your life, because we've heard all the stories around men killing their wives because of all sorts of problems. It didn't just start there. It started very, very gradually with very minor issues, and it's just moved on to very major, you know, killing and grievous bodily harm, or, you know, actual bodily harm and all that. So I would say if you are going through serious issues, report it. Report it. He needs to learn, or she needs to learn. You do your bit. Give him chances, of course. We're not saying once something little happens. Every relationship has challenges. But once you cross that line where your life is at risk, trust me, you've got the police. That's why we're here, for you to, you know, ring us. We understand. We've got all the experiences. We've got the special department called the Public Protection Unit. They deal with all the issues. They're very, very experienced. They're trained. They can support you. If you're in fear of your life in that house, they can support you. If you're scared that if you report the matter, your husband or your wife says, well, if you report it, you get deported. That's not true. We don't deport victims. Rather, there'll be support for the victim, and the offender would have to pay for the consequences.
Okay. How does one, like, get to the police? And is there a provision? I know that I think there's this emergency number, but how do you get to the police, especially if you don't want the abuser to know you're calling the police? I mean, you're in that situation. Your life is in danger. You're in the house. How can you get to the police?
Right. So there's this 5-5. I'm sure a lot of you would know it. So I'll read that here. It says a DV campaign to raise awareness of silent solution system, which allows you to alert the police without speaking. So if you feel your life is in danger, you're not able to speak on the phone, you're worried for whatever reason, all you need to do is to dial the 5. So once you dial 5-5, you go straight to the police and we would react. It's a domestic violence number. And we will react to it. Or if you've got your neighbour, or you've got a neighbour and you're going through all sorts of issues, you can let them know, you could ring them, you could text them. Rather than calling the police directly, you could go through anyone. So, you know, the 555 is a really good option for people who are worried or scared for their lives.
Okay, and then the police would know where you are. So is that dependent on... If you're using the landline, as you pick up the landline, is it dependent? Could you use your mobile phone as in just do it quickly, or must it be a landline?
Yeah, you could use your mobile phone. Usually we track it. We track mobile phone, especially if it's been used before, you've called us before, we've got record of it. If it's very serious and you haven't got time to text your postcode, usually I'll say text it and text your postcode because of time. If you can't do that, usually what we do is go through the service provider, and through the service provider, we'll be able to locate your number and where you are. So give as much details as you can, but sometimes you just can't. It depends on the situation. And we would track. Landline is quite easy to track.
But to track. Phones,
people use mobile phones most times. So give as much details as you can with postcode, if possible, or street name, if possible. But if you can't, then we usually would go through the service provider, and hopefully we've got record of your details somewhere in our system. And we haven't got everyone's record. People think we've got everybody's, you know, everybody's record. No, we haven't. But if we had to do it before, then we would, you know.
You would, okay. Sergeant Misha, there's something you've just said now. You said that we could tell a neighbor, you know, and the neighbor will be able to sort of like help us out. So what if you're a neighbor, you know, the other day I called you up, that was like, that was some months ago because of my own neighbors there where I was living. They had this Friday, usually a Friday night drama. There was always this noise that came on Friday night. You just, first of all, start hearing these grunted noises, and then later on it just escalates and you can visibly hear one woman shouting and all of that and all of that. What if, is it possible for a neighbor to actually call the police? Is that something that is okay to do? And then how best could you do it without, like, you know, usually nobody wants anybody to know that, oh, you call the police for me and all that. How best can one go about it as a neighbor?
Right. So a lot of our calls, let me not say most because I haven't got figures, a lot of our calls are third party calls where neighbors have rang because they've had fights. Or, you know, they know that there's incidents happening next door, or sometimes miles away, where moms have rang saying, I think my daughter's in trouble or my brother's in trouble. So, yes, you can call the police. You might be saving life. Just remember that. I know back in Africa or Nigeria, everyone says mind your business. But really, mind your business could mean someone's death. So I'm not saying you should be nosy. What I'm saying is, if you feel like someone is in trouble, you owe that person to ring the police. Ring the police. Maybe it's nothing. No one will charge you for the call out. It might be nothing, but if you're worried, call the police and officers will be straight out there to deal with it. So if it's an incident where once the police gets there, because there will be issues, there are cases where our officers have been there and nothing has happened. They've knocked on the door. Maybe the offender have noticed the police siren or the car and they've stopped suddenly. So we get there and it's a case of no, we're fine. And the victim's too scared to talk to the police. Usually our officers are trained to go in, have a chat with the children at the address, have a chat with a potential victim, away from, you know, keep everyone apart and have a chat in case something's happening and someone's scared to talk. So we do that, but there'll be cases where they'll be too scared. No, everyone will say nothing has happened because of fear, or, you know, fear of violence or whatever. So what I would advise, if you're a neighbor and there's a constant domestic incident next door or wherever and you know of it, I would say record it on your phone if you can. If you want to report it, I say please report it. It's your choice to be anonymous if you want to. You could ring to say, I don't want to give my details, I want officers to come out to deal with it. I don't want to be involved in it if you don't want to. I mean, if I'm the neighbor, I don't mind being involved if I'm going to save someone's life. But understand everyone's different. We've all got our different challenges. We've all got our different issues. Some are scared. If I report this, would the police, as you say, immigration issues? So you're thinking, if I report it, they'll find me.
Is it possible for the police, you report and the police now checks and says, oh, you're illegal and takes you out?
But funny enough, we don't do that. I mean, we've got enough work to do. We'll check. If someone is brought into custody, we usually would do a life scan and would link up with immigration and all that. But if you're the victim, there's absolutely no reason why we should do that. And if you're a witness, we wouldn't be doing that. I'll be shocked if anyone actually does that. That's not our goal. Our goal is to deal with the victim of crime, to increase trust and confidence within the community. You know, so I don't see any officer really. I mean, I'm West Midlands Police, second largest police force, but we don't do that. So I'm not sure about other forces if they do, but I'll be surprised if they do. But you've got an option to be anonymous. You've got an option to record if it's going on and you're so concerned, you've got an option to record it. And with time, you can go into any station and say, this is why I'd like to report this incident. I rang in and all that. And, you know, find someone, give them the recording. Usually there's a log number for every job. So when you ring in, you can actually ask whoever picks the call handler, for the log number. So you've got the log number. So if you want to make any further anonymous, you could say, you know, I rang in, log number, whatever, on the dates. Log number goes with dates, so make sure you've got the date also. And you can then just put whatever information you want to put. You can ring them saying, can they put this information? I want to meet up with the officer. I want to show them what I've heard. You don't need to give your details. You're definitely not obliged to give your details if you're reporting something.
Okay. You know, Michelle, there was also something else I was wondering. You know, usually, you know, when I attended a police domestic abuse event, and someone was mentioning something that you could actually check up on someone. You know, because there's never part of the issues people say to me sometimes is, oh, he was never like this. Though most people actually admit that, yes, they saw some level of control. They were deceived at one point. They thought it was love, but, you know, they've come to realize that it was all control, the constant following, the stalking, the checking, the monitoring, and all that. I know back home in Africa, if you want to get married, people want to check up on your family, they want to see some things. And in that particular domestic abuse conference I went to, a police officer was speaking about something that has to do with the fact that you can actually check up someone's domestic abuse history. Is that something you can enlighten us about?
Yes, and that's actually called Claire's Law. Claire's Law, if you want to check it out, it's CL, that's Charlie Lima Alpha Romeo Echo Law, Claire's Law. So Claire, I think that came about after an incident where someone called Claire was killed due to domestic incident. So what that law is, it gives every citizen the opportunity to request details of anyone who is around. Okay, let me read this so I've got it right. So it gives members of the public the right to ask if the partners, remember partners, or partner of someone they know have history of violent or abusive behavior. So if, for instance, my sister decides to go out with someone and I'm not too sure, I'm a bit like, oh, I don't know, it seems a bit odd, you know, and I'm worried about it. What I could do is ask, put a request in to ask if they've ever, obviously it won't be, it's confidential information, we won't be telling you who they killed or who
they killed. Hopefully they didn't kill anybody, because your sister is not following them.
If they kill someone, hopefully they'll be in prison, but you never know. So what we do, you know, if there's been an issue where they've been, sometimes people have been in prison, you never know. There are people who
get
months and years, and you know, they get released and they want to start a new life, they change their names, obviously want to start a totally fresh life, doesn't mean they've changed. So you've got an option to check their details, make sure they haven't been involved in any violent behavior and all that. I think it's a good option, especially these days where the internet is, things happen on the internet so much, people meet up on the internet. They don't meet families these days. I mean, back in Africa, in Nigeria, I keep saying Africa and Nigeria because every African country is different. If you're going to marry someone, you go down to their village. I mean, you get to know, you don't marry someone if you don't know the parents. You don't marry someone if you don't know the family. So you sort of get history. I mean, things still happen within that. You end up marrying someone that, you know, some people still end up making a mistake, but at least you've got that option. Here you haven't. You could meet someone at uni and, you know, you just meet the dad and mom and they're not telling you anything. Now you think they are normal, but they're not. So you've got an option to check to make sure you check them out.
The police can help you check them out.
Exactly. And then there's another one called Sarah's Law. Sarah's Law is checking if your partner is on the sex offenders register. If you've got children, don't just bring people to your home. You don't know who they are. Don't just bring people to your home. Check them out. If they're your boyfriend, your partners, make sure you check this out. Get the details, check if they've ever been locked up for any sexual offences against children, against adults. You won't get the full details, but you know.
At least you know, and you take, hopefully, as a good parent, you put the welfare of your children beyond, above the welfare of you wanting someone in bed. Exactly. You know that the person you want in bed might also be having your children in bed also. So I think that's quite good. The police can, you know, that's something we should actually all take advantage of. And then, you know, I know that this is it's a Christian program. A lot of Christians are watching, and someone may just be asking there. So, but I mean, if you're a Christian, why don't you just forgive? Why do you now have to call the police for justice? How do you see the police? How do you see your job as a police? How do you tie it down to your life as a believer?
Okay, so let me take off my police hat now and put my Christian hat, because I've been a Christian much longer. Right. So even there's a place for forgiveness, and even God, at the end of the day, there'll be heaven, there'll be hell for those who believe in it. People believe different things, and obviously we're free to believe what we want to believe. At the end, there will always be the judgment. We know that. So in fact, even with God's own forgiveness, at the end of it, there'll be judgment. You know. So for me, there's a place for forgiveness. Forgive. We encourage that if you're married, there will be issues. No man has a right to hit you. No man has a right to make you feel less than you should feel. Or no woman has a right to make you feel mm-hmm. less. No woman should make your life hell. And you mm-hmm. carry on and you're scared for your safety, scared for your children's safety. What kind of kids are you? What kind of atmosphere are you bringing your children up? Because they will carry on and carry on in generations and generations. So I would say forgive. But when it starts getting to that point where it's always your fault, you're the reason why I'm hitting you because of what you said and what you did, and it's just constant and constant, it's not worth it. You need to take action. If they haven't learned, you tell them, I will report to the police if you carry on. You won. It's a place where you warn people. And you, in fact, even with the police, with public order offences, when we have to warn people saying, if you carry on with that behaviour, you'll get locked up. You warn mm-hmm. them and warn them and warn them, and then finally you lock them up. With domestic abuse, hopefully it's not too late. There are people who are forgiven until they've gone to their grave. We know that. Mm-hmm. So don't ever get to the point where you risk your life because you think you're a Christian. Even God knows. Even God will give him chances. And if he doesn't take chances, that's why the police, that's why the law is there to protect you. The law is to protect you. If a man wants to disobey God's law by not loving his wife, or a woman doesn't want to disobey God's law by not loving his wife, or constantly belittles her and harasses her and assaults her and controls her, then you know what? I don't see the reason why you have pity, because I wouldn't. That's where the law comes in, where people have to learn. So maybe they need to learn before someone gets killed, one or the other. Sometimes the victim kills the offender because it gets so much for them. They lose it. They see, you know, as they say, they have a total blackout, or they see red, or they stab. We get that. So why put yourself in that position? Why not just make sure the law takes its full course if need be?
Thank you so much. That's quite interesting. There's something you said about it there. You said something about the reason why the police is there. They are there as law enforcers and to help to enforce the law of God. You took a marriage vow. You took a vow to love, to cherish, to, you know, to hold. And if you're no more loving your wife or loving your husband, the police can help you and put you in check. Michelle, it's been a beautiful evening. We have run out of time. Well, we still have just 1 minute for you to give us final words. For anybody who is listening and those who would listen later, what was the final word from Sergeant Michelle concerning domestic abuse and the police?
Please don't put yourself in danger if you feel you're going through, especially, I think this word would be mostly for the men, because African men always feel they're really strong, you know, they're able to cope. Women, you know, we've got our own issues also, but please, if you feel at any point you need to speak to someone, speak to somebody. Everything doesn't always lead to an arrest. Sometimes it's just an advice, but don't put yourself in that position. The world, I mean, life is difficult already as it is. I don't think anyone should put themselves in positions where you're constantly harassed. You're scared for your own life. You're scared for your children's life. You're being controlled. You can't do anything. You can't earn your money. You everything around domestic abuse is wrong. And when you try to forgive and you try to speak and it doesn't work out, I would say, look at the next option. Look at the next. There are help out there. There's help for women or men who need to leave the house, but they're scared. There are provisions where we can find you a place where the man would never know where you are. Somewhere with your children, he'll never find you. Or likewise for the men, but mostly women who are, you know, scared. The men usually are stronger when it comes to being afraid of their spouse. So please take the option. Use the police. That's why we're there. You know, use us. you know, the nice people out there, the black officers, the white officers, were all very nice. Not everyone, but mostly very, very nice. And when it comes to domestic abuse, this isn't America, though. When it comes to domestic
abuse,
trust me, the British police were one of the nicest police force you can ever meet. Were very fair. If you feel you're not being taken seriously or your case is not being looked at seriously, take the caller number of the officer. You can make a report. You can report it. You can request your case to be reviewed.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I said to us at the beginning of today's program that by the time we finish listening to Sergeant Michelle, we'll be convinced that the police is our friend. If you're not convinced, I tell you, you need to listen again to all that she has said, all the work that the police force is doing. And I just want to say tonight a big thank you. I really appreciate, I know I kept on bothering you out of your busy schedule, but we are really grateful that you've come up with us today. I'm sure some other people might also, having listened, perhaps feel joined to, you know, call to join the ministry of the police force to help God in ensuring law and order. And of course, if you want that, I can direct you to Sergeant Michelle. Again, she's my friend. I can let you know, she said also that she was into recruitment at one time, so she could guide you. And perhaps you have a child who has listened, or a child who is interested in criminal justice or things like this. Just, it's not too late to get your child enrolled in something. It's never too late. Thank you so much for your time this evening. Thank you, everyone, for joining us again for another episode of Kada Matters. I'd like to say that next week we'll have Dr. Chichi Menakaya. She'll be with us. We'll be looking at culture and domestic abuse. This is Kada Matters. It's an awareness raising arm of Church Against Domestic Abuse, raising a voice for domestic abuse, especially in the church. We believe that as people get informed, they would respond correctly and biblically. Till we come your way again next week, this is Gracilly saying bye for now. Thank you so
bye-bye.
Much.
Thank you,
everybody. Bye. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are indeed very grateful. Thank you. She is joining us very soon. She's getting right into the program. Hello, 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 hello. Good evening, Sergeant Michelle. We are very delighted to have you. I was just saying that you're a very on-time person and you have indeed turned up on time. So thank you so much for turning up on time. And thank you once again, everybody, for joining us today. Thank you also to all those who would watch this IGTV video later. We understand that a lot of people are busy, having several things to do. So luckily, Instagram has made it possible for people to do a catch-up at the end of the day. And so thank you all for catching up, and thank you all for coming live. And this evening on Kada Matters, we will be discussing domestic abuse and the police. Interestingly, we brought several professionals to talk to us about domestic abuse. And for today, it's the turn of the police. A very common saying is the police is your friend. Several people have encountered several things that make them feel that that statement is not totally correct, or they have some issues with that statement. I'm very sure that at the end of today, with our discussion with Sergeant Michelle, we're going to have perhaps a very different perspective of what the police, you know, can do and what they are all about. Yes. And so I'm not going to take much of your time. I'm going to allow Sergeant Michelle to introduce herself to us this evening. We just would like to know you. A lot of people have been, I sent this video in my secondary group and someone said, oh, the video where you're speaking in Igbo, I'm sure a lot of people wonder what she said. Somebody interpreted, this is what she said. She's saying there are vacancies, you know, in West Midland Police. So, Michelle, do you want to talk to us about yourself, please?
Yes. Right. So, my name's Michelle Gweze. I moved to Birmingham and joined the West Midlands Police going back about 17 years now. I'm a sergeant. Worked as a police constable for some years and then became a sergeant. So I worked as a custody sergeant. I don't know if you've heard about it, where we deal with criminal justice. So around the criminal justice system, so I was just generally dealing with offenders. And then I also worked as a neighbourhood officer, as a response officer, those ones you see driving around fast cars. But my current role now is a neighbourhood sergeant in Birmingham City Centre, That's the West Midlands Police. And before then, 4 years I did recruitment. So everything about BME, Black, Asian, not ethnic minority recruitment. So I did that for about 4 years. So my current role is neighborhood policing now. So I've been in the job about 17 years. I've got three children.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got three children. My son's in third year university. My daughter's just going in September. And I've also got a 13-year-old. So yeah, it's, yeah, that's me in a nutshell. And my husband works in Birmingham also.
Okay. So for those of you who do not know, Michelle also did some recruitment. And I'm sure she could also help you if you're looking at recruitment. Really. So I know you said you've been a police officer for a long time now, and you've just told us a little bit about the journey. I know being a police officer means that you must have come across domestic abuse. I mean, working as a custody officer, working as a neighborhood police. Could you just let us know, as in, what exactly did you deal with domestic abuse, and if how serious is the crime of domestic abuse?
In comparison to Nigeria, in fact, I forgot to mention, I'm actually originally from Delta State, and my husband is from Enugu State. So, the Igbo you heard me speaking, I had to learn it. So,
oh God, I was thinking when I watched it at first, I was like, I didn't know how Michelle could speak Igbo fluent.
Yeah, well, firstly, I was reading from a script. Right behind.
Oh, okay.
Going back to your question about dealing with domestic abuse, as I'm not sure what it is in Nigeria now, but domestic abuse is one of the most challenging crimes to deal with here. Challenging in regards to how we deal with it. And, you know, back in the days, years and years ago, domestic abuse wasn't taken very seriously, even in the UK here, where when an incident happens or a woman or a man reports an incident, the idea was to say, well, deal with it in-house. But now domestic abuse has been taken so seriously that once it's reported by law, we, as in the police, would have to take action. So the action could be to lock someone up for it. The chances are, no matter how low risk it is, the police are expected to lock the offender up, whoever the offender is, and also support the victim. So it is taken seriously, because sometimes we prosecute even if it's a victimless crime, meaning if the victim doesn't want to take it any further, we have to prosecute sometimes. Just because of the vulnerability and the seriousness of what domestic abuse is. And, I haven't got figures, but, you know, there's a lot of figures out there about how the death from domestic abuse, because the police don't take it seriously. So we take it very, very seriously now.
Okay. I think WHO figures tell us that one in every four women, you know, would experience domestic abuse at one point or the other. And then we have figures that say that in every 3 minutes, the police gets a call for domestic abuse. You know, and I'm beginning to wonder, because, you know, from where we're coming from, most times we saw the police as either standing on the road, sort of like helping out traffic or dealing with armed robbers. So what exactly is the role of police? I think now the police seems to have, like, when it comes to domestic abuse, is that they are putting their hands into the business in the house. What is the role of police when it comes to domestic abuse? And then you said that sometimes people can call up the police. What can we expect, you know, from the police when we bring up, you know, to give a domestic abuse distress call to the police?
Right. So when you like any other crime, like any other serious crime, once you ring the police, we will take action. So if there's an immediate danger, then you should expect officers to turn up. So it might not just be one, it might not be two, it might be two or three cars driving straight down to your house. So by law, we have to do that. So expect response. So if you ring regards to domestic abuse, if it's ongoing, then there will be immediate response. If it's not ongoing, for instance, if you ring and you report historic crime, like, you know, some years back you did this, then officers will come to you. They will follow up. They'll come and take statements, or they might video interview you regards to what you've reported. But generally, there will be response. Definitely will be response.
Oh, okay. So immediately you call the police, you get some form of response.
Yes.
Or the other. So yeah. Apart from this response that the police does, is it possible then that if the police does respond, then I'm wondering, why do a lot of people not call the police when it comes to domestic abuse? I mean, if the police are law enforcement agents, they are going to do something about it. What are the barriers that you have seen, you know, in all these almost 2 decades of working in the police force? What are the barriers you have seen when it comes to, you know, domestic abuse and the police, and your what are those things that hamper your ability to carry out your work to help people? And then especially when it comes to the BME community, what are those issues that you have seen that are sort of like barriers and are weighing us down?
I think that's where the main issue is with regards to our Black and ethnic minorities. I mean, if you think back in Nigeria, how many women would actually report their husbands, you know, or how many men report their wives beating them up? It's happening.
Yes, it is.
I mean, I remember.
Thank you for joining.
I remember one of the cultures. I think that there's one where they say if your husband loves you more, he'll beat you more, something like that. So you know, generally, I think one of the issues we face here is lack of reporting, especially within the BAME communities. The fear of reporting, the fear of shame. What would his family say? What would my family say? Would he get reported? Would the police take it seriously? There are various reasons why people don't report it. But we always, if you're going through domestic abuse at home, I would advise you report it, because it just gets worse and worse and worse. And we see it getting worse. Sometimes, I mean, they say usually before a woman reports domestic abuse, most likely has happened more than 5 times or more. So we would say report it. The police will take it seriously. You should be ready to take it further, because you'll be given the choice to give a statement. And one of the problems we face is the victims not taking any further. So we take your statement, we prepare the case for court, and when it's time to actually charge, which would be you as a custody sergeant, I would charge the offender. We get victims saying, "Oh, I'm too scared. I don't want to take it any further. I don't want the police to take it further, because I don't want him to lose his job. Or, you know, I don't want to get deported. I don't want his family to be, you know, angry, or my family. I don't want to be divorced." So we get all that, which definitely hinders our work. If it's very serious, then we would carry on with the charges. But if we haven't got any evidence, then usually it would be either no further action. If you decide that you want to take it further and it's low level, like common assault, which maybe was a, maybe he pushed you, or she pushed you, or, you know, just nothing serious, then we could also go towards the line of no further action from our side, but he is then made to go on a course, and I'll talk more about the course later on. So it's what we call a conditional bail, where there are conditions for him to either get anger management courses or go on a course around domestic abuse and the impact it has on the victim. So there are different ways we deal with it. But just remember, we can't deal with it if you don't report it, if you don't want to take it further. It just makes the case really hard for us to deal with.
Okay, that's interesting, because I think you've said that there's the fear of people, you know, their partners getting deported. I think there's also the fear of people thinking they will be deported. There's the fear, I think, also of people, of the police themselves. As in, there's also something about the police force. You just see somebody in uniform and you start having this, like, cold fever. It happens almost everywhere. You're just in your house, and the next thing, some police cars come into the street. Everybody starts peeping, which house has the police gone to, and all of that. So there's this sort of like shroud mystery around the police or the police force that makes people sometimes not realize that the police are actually approachable. They're actually people who, they have feelings. They understand the kind of feelings that we're going through, and they also understand how most people also feel about reporting their spouses or doing things like that. But I think, like you said, the work of the police is crucial, and it's important for us to report, because sometimes when you don't report something, there's going to be you will not have any evidence, and you might need this evidence later on.
Later on in time.
Well, apart from that, I'm just wondering, are there some other things? Because someone was saying to me at one time that, okay, well, do you know that it's not every time the police, you could ask the police to actually just warn the person, like give the person a serious warning without actually taking the person away? Because a lot of women and people generally are concerned, just like what you said, if someone is in a professional job that's, you know, having a criminal record would almost tantamount to them being called to a fitness to practice. You know, somehow, in the name of love and for the sake of love, you don't want to be the one who is held responsible for
career.
Breaking up someone's career, really. And so a lot of people, so what are the things also that can actually be done? Is there something that can be done in a way that effectively, but not getting down to that eventual part that will bring like a criminal prosecution? I understand that it's a crime, but are there some things that the police can actually do, you know?
Yes, we've got options. I mean, if your wife, I mean, I keep saying wife or husband, because not just women go through domestic abuse. We know women, not just women go through it. We know men are also victims. And they find it harder to even report this incident because of pride, or, you know, you're a man, why would a woman deal with you? So what we could do, when, first of all, it depends on what type of crime it is. So, for instance, if your wife has, you know, hit your head with or stabbed you with a knife and you ask the police to warn him, I don't think we can go down that line, because that is quite serious, isn't it? So the next level is death or killing you. Or if it's something really minor, really, really minor, which could happen, shouldn't, but it could happen, then that could be your first line. So when they come out, you have to tell them at the start that, I just want him warned. Can you speak to him about this incident? You know, can you tell him to stop harassing me? Because there are different types of domestic abuse. It's not just assault. And the police can. So, for instance, if that was the first time you've ever reported it and we've locked him up, and you're saying, I don't want to go to court for this, I just want him warned, we would, no further action from our side, but we could also give him conditions. So as I said earlier, the conditions could be for him to attend what we call a CARA course. I don't know the full meaning, but it's a CARA course in Birmingham where offenders, they attend, they're sort of taught different things, how to manage their temper, how to take care of their spouses, impact of their behavior, especially consequences of their behavior, and where they could, you know, their behavior could take them to. And there's usually what we call a community resolution, where you and your spouse will then sit down and there'll be an agreement as to possibly what we call code of conduct or behavior, you know, behavior. So we could do that, but it just depends on the level of the offense. So if it's low level, we can do that. If it's almost murder, I'm sorry, I'll be worried for your own life. Even if you say, you know what, don't push it, I would personally push it. I'll make sure it goes to prison, to court for it. I mean, one of the issues around people being afraid of people's, you know, oh, if I report this, my husband might lose his job and all that. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But if he cares or she cares about her job so much, then why would she assault you? Why would you be put through those stress of domestic abuse, which would have a severe impact on your life? Think about it. If he cares about his job so much, then he'll think about you. So when people think about jobs, think about your life, because we've heard all the stories around men killing their wives because of all sorts of problems. It didn't just start there. It started very, very gradually with very minor issues, and it's just moved on to very major, you know, killing and grievous bodily harm, or, you know, actual bodily harm and all that. So I would say, if you are going through serious issues, report it. He needs to learn, or she needs to learn. You do your bit. Give him chances, of course. We're not saying once something little happens. Every relationship has challenges. But once it's towards that line where your life is at risk, trust me, you've got the police. That's why we're here, for you to, you know, ring us. We understand. We've got all the experiences. We've got the special department called the Public Protection Unit. They deal with all the issues. They're very, very experienced. They're trained. They can support you. If you're in fear of your life in that house, they can support you. If you're scared that if you report the matter, your husband or your wife says, well, if you report it, you get deported. That's not true. We don't deport victims. Rather, there'll be support for the victim, and the offender would have to pay for the consequences.
Okay. How does one, like, get to the police, and is there a provision? I know that I think there's this emergency number, but how do you get to the police, especially if you don't want the abuser to know you're calling the police? I mean, you're in that situation, your life is in danger, you're in the house. How can you get to the police?
Right, so there's this 5-5, I'm sure a lot of you would know it. So I'll read that here. It says, a DV campaign to raise awareness of silent solution system, which allows you to alert the police without speaking. So if you feel your life is in danger, you're not able to speak on the phone, you're worried for whatever reason, all you need to do is to dial the 5. So once you dial 5-5, you go straight to the police and we would react. It's a domestic violence number. And we will react to it. Or if you've got your neighbor, or you've got a neighbor and you're going through all sorts of issues, you can let them know, you could ring them, you could text them. Rather than calling the police directly, you could go through anyone. So, you know, the 555 is a really good option for people who are worried or scared for their lives.
Okay, and then the police would know where you are. So is that dependent on if you're using the landline? Because if you pick up the landline, is it dependent? Could you use your mobile phone as in just do it quickly, or must it be a landline?
Yeah, you could use your mobile phone. Usually we track it.
We
track mobile phone, especially if it's been used before, you've called us before, we've got record of it. If it's very serious and you haven't got time to text your postcode, usually I'll say text it and text your postcode because of time. If you can't do that, usually what we do is go through the service provider, and through the service provider we'll be able to locate your number and where you are. So give as much details as you can, but sometimes you just can't. It depends on the situation, and we will track. Landline is quite easy to track. People use mobile phones most times. So give as much details as you can with postcode if possible, or street name if possible. But if you can't, then we usually would go through the service provider, and hopefully we've got record of your details somewhere in our system. And we haven't got everyone's record. People think we've got everybody's record. No, we haven't. But if we had to do it before, then we would.
You would. Okay. Sergeant Misha, there's something you've just said now. You said that we could tell a neighbor, you know, and the neighbor will be able to sort of like help us out. So what if you're a neighbor? You know, the other day I called you up, that was like, that was some months ago, because of my own neighbors there where I was living. They had this Friday, usually a Friday night drama. There was always this noise that came on Friday night. You just, first of all, start hearing disgruntled noises, and then later on it just escalates and you can visibly hear one woman shouting and all of that. What if, is it possible for a neighbor to actually call the police? Is that something that is okay to do? And then how best could you do it without, like, you know, usually nobody wants anybody to know that, oh, you call the police for me and all that. How best can one go about it as a neighbor?
Right. So a lot of our calls, let me not say most because I haven't got figures, a lot of our calls are third party calls where neighbors have rang because they've had fights. Or, you know, they know that there's incidents happening next door, or sometimes miles away, where moms have rang saying, I think my daughter's in trouble, or my brother's in trouble. So, yes, you can call the police. You might be saving life. Just remember that. I know back in Africa or Nigeria, everyone says, mind your business. But really, mind your business could mean someone's death. So I'm not saying you should be nosy. What I'm saying is, if you feel like someone is in trouble, you owe that person to ring the police. Ring the police. Maybe it's nothing. No one would charge you for the call out. It might be nothing, but if you're worried, call the police and officers will be straight out there to deal with it. So if it's an incident where once the police gets there, because there will be issues, there are cases where our officers have been there and nothing has happened. They've knocked on the door. Maybe the offender have noticed the police siren or the car and they've stopped suddenly. So we get there and it's a case of no, we're fine. And the victim's too scared to talk to the police. Usually our officers are trained to go in, have a chat with the children at the address, have a chat with a potential victim, away from, you know, keep everyone apart and have a chat in case something's happening and someone's scared to talk. So we do that, but there will be cases where they'll be too scared. No, everyone will say nothing has happened because of fear, or, you know, fear of violence or whatever. So what we would say, what I would advise, if you're a neighbor and there's a constant domestic incident next door or wherever, and you know of it, I would say record it on your phone if you can. If you want to report it, I said, please report it. It's your choice to be anonymous if you want to. You could ring to say, I don't want to give my details. I just want this. I want officers to come out to deal with it. I don't want to be involved in it if you don't want to. I mean, if I'm the neighbor, I don't mind being involved if I'm going to save someone's life. But understand everyone's different. We've all got our different challenges. We've all got our different issues. Some are scared. If I report this, would the police, as you say, immigration issues? So you're thinking, if I report it, they'll find me. But,
is it possible for the police? You report and the police now checks and says, oh, you're illegal, and takes you out.
But funny enough, we don't do that. I mean, we've got enough work to do. We'll check. If someone is brought into custody, we usually would do a life scan and would link up with immigration and all that. But if you're the victim, there's absolutely no reason why we should do that. But, and if you're a witness, we wouldn't be doing that. I'll be shocked if anyone actually does that. That's not our goal. Our goal is to deal with the victim of crime, to increase trust and confidence within the community. You know, so I don't see any officer really. I mean, I'm West Midlands Police, second largest police force, but we don't do that. So I'm not sure about other forces if they do, but I'll be surprised if they do. But you've got an option to be anonymous. You've got an option to record if it's going on and you're so concerned, you've got an option to record it. And with time, you can go into any station and say, this is why I'd like to report this incident. I rang in and all that. And, you know, find someone, give them the recording. Usually there's a log number for every job. So when you ring in, you can actually ask whoever picks the call handler, for the log number. So you've got the log number. So if you want to make any further anonymous, say, you know, I rang in, log number, whatever, on the date. Log number goes with date, so make sure you've got the date also. And you can then just put whatever information you want to put. You can ring them saying, can they put this information? I want to meet up with the officer. I want to show them what I've heard. You don't need to give your details. You're definitely not obliged to give your details if you're reporting something.
Okay. You know, Michelle, there was also something else I was wondering. You know, usually, you know, I attended a police domestic abuse event, and someone was mentioning something that you could actually check up on someone. You know, because there's several part of the issues people say to me sometimes is, oh, he was never like this. Though most people actually admit that, yes, they saw some level of control. They were deceived at one point. They thought it was love, but, you know, they've come to realize that it was all control, the constant following, the stalking, the checking, the monitoring and all that. I know back home in Africa, if you want to get married, people want to check up on your family, they want to see some things. And in that particular domestic abuse conference I went to, a police officer was speaking about something that has to do with the fact that you can actually check up someone's domestic abuse history. Is that something you can enlighten us about?
Yes, and that's actually called Claire's Law. Claire's Law, if you want to check it out, it's CL, that's Charlie Lima Alpha Romeo Echo Law, Claire's Law. So Claire, I think that came about after an incident where someone called Claire was killed due to domestic incident. So what that law is, it gives every citizen the opportunity to request details of anyone who is around. Okay, let me read this so I've got it right. So it gives members of the public the right to ask if the partners, remember partners, or partner of someone they know have history of violent or abusive behavior. So if, for instance, my sister decides to go out with someone and I'm not too sure, I'm a bit like, oh, I don't know, it seems a bit odd, you know, and I'm worried about it. What I could do is ask, put a request in to ask if they've ever, obviously it won't be, it's confidential information, we won't be telling you who they killed or who
they killed. Hopefully they didn't kill anybody. Because your sister is not following them.
If they kill hopefully they'll be in prison, but you never know. So what we do, you know, if there's been an issue where they've been, sometimes people have been in prison, you never know. There are people
who get
months and years, and you know, they get released and they want to start a new life. They change their names, obviously want to start a totally fresh life. Doesn't mean they've changed. So you've got an option to check their details, make sure they haven't been involved in any violent behavior and all that. And I think it's a good option, especially these days where the internet is. Things happen on the internet so much. People meet up on the internet. They don't meet families these days. I mean, back in Africa, in Nigeria, I keep saying Africa and Nigeria because every African country is different. If you're going to marry someone, you go down to their village and then you get to know you. You don't marry someone if you don't know the parents. You don't marry someone if you don't know the family. So you sort of get history. I mean, things still happen within that. You end up marrying someone that, you know, some people still end up making a mistake, but at least you've got that option. Here, you haven't. You could meet someone at uni and, you know, you just meet the dad and mom and they're not telling you anything. Now you think they are normal, but they're not. So you've got an option to check to make sure you
check them out. The police can help you check them out.
Exactly. And then there's another one called Sarah's Law. Sarah's Law is checking if your partner is on the sex offenders register. If you've got children, don't just bring people to your home. You don't know who they are. Don't just bring people to your home. Check them out. If they're your boyfriend, your partners, make sure you check this out, get the details, check if they've ever been locked up for any sexual offences against children, against adults. You won't get the full details, but you know.
At least you know, and you take, hopefully, as a good parent, you put the welfare of your children beyond, above the welfare of you wanting someone in bed. Exactly. You know that the person you want in bed might also be having your children in bed also. So I think that's quite good. The police can, you know, that's something we should actually all take advantage of. And then, you know, I know that this is a Christian program. A lot of Christians are watching. And some of it does the asking there. So, but I mean, if you're a Christian, why don't you just forgive? Why do you now have to call the police for justice? How do you see the police? How do you see your job as a police? How do you tie it down to your life as a believer?
Okay, so let me take off my police hat now and put my Christian hat, because I've been a Christian much longer. Right. So even there's a place for forgiveness, and even God, at the end of the day, there'll be heaven, there'll be hell for those who believe in it. People believe different things, and obviously we're free to believe what we want to believe. At the end, there will always be a judgment. We know that. So in fact, even with God's own forgiveness, at the end of it, there'll be judgment. You know. So for me, there's a place for forgiveness. Forgive. We encourage that if you're married, there will be issues. No man has a right to hit you. No man has a right to make you feel less than you should feel. Or no woman has a right to make you feel less. No woman should make your life hell. And you carry on and you're scared for your safety, scared for your children's safety. What kind of kids are you? What kind of atmosphere are you bringing your children up? Because they will carry on in generations and generations. So I would say forgive. But when it starts getting to that point where it's always your fault, you're the reason why I'm hitting you because of what you said and what you did, and it's just constant and constant, it's not worth it. You need to take action. If they haven't learned, you tell them, I will report to the police if you carry on. You warn. It's a place where you warn people. And even with the police, with public order offences, when we have to warn people saying, if you carry on with that behaviour, you'll get locked up. You want them and want them and want them, and then finally you lock them up. With domestic abuse, hopefully it's not too late. There are people who are forgiven until they've gone to their grave. We know that. So don't ever get to the point where you risk your life because you think you're a Christian. Even God knows. Even God will give him chances. And if he doesn't take chances, that's why the police, that's why the law is there to protect you. The law is to protect you. If a man wants to disobey God's law by not loving his wife, or a woman doesn't want to disobey God's law by not loving his wife, or constantly belittles her and harasses her and assaults her and controls her, then you know what? I don't see the reason why you have pity, because I wouldn't. That's where the law comes in, where people have to learn. So maybe they need to learn before someone gets killed, one or the other. Sometimes the victim kills the offender because it gets so much for them. They lose it. They see, you know, as they say, they have a total blackout, or they see red, or they stab. we get that. So why put yourself in that position? Why not just make sure the Lord takes it full course if need be?
Thank you so much. That's quite interesting. There's something you said about it there. You said something about the reason why the police is there. They are there as law enforcers and to help to enforce the law of God. You took a marriage vow. You took a vow to love, to cherish, to, you know, to hold. And if you're no more loving your wife or loving your husband, the police can help you and put you in check. Michelle, it's been a beautiful evening. We have run out of time, but we still have just 1 minute for you to give us final words. For anybody who is listening and those who will listen later, what was the final word from Sergeant Michelle concerning domestic abuse and the police?
Please don't put yourself in danger if you feel you're going through, especially, I think this word would be mostly for the men, because African men always feel they're really strong, you know, they're able to cope. Women, you know, we've got our own issues also, but please, if you feel at any point you need to speak to someone, speak to somebody. Everything doesn't always lead to an arrest. Sometimes it's just an advice, but don't put yourself in that position. The world, I mean, life is difficult already as it is. I don't think anyone should put themselves in positions where you're constantly harassed. You're scared for your own life. You're scared for your children's life. You're being controlled. You can't do anything. You can't earn your money. Everything around domestic abuse is wrong. And when you try to forgive and you try to speak and it doesn't work out, I would say, look at the next option. Look at the next. There are help out there. There's help for women or men who need to leave the house, but they're scared. There are provisions where we can find you a place where the man would never know where you are. Somewhere with your children, he'll never find you. Or likewise for the men, but mostly women who are, you know, scared. The men usually are stronger when it comes to being afraid of their spouse. So please take the option. Use the police. That's why we're there. You know, use us. You know, the nice people out there, the black officers, the white officers, we're all very nice. Not everyone, but mostly very, very nice. But when it comes to domestic abuse, this isn't America, though. When it comes to domestic
abuse,
trust me, the British police were one of the nicest police force you can ever meet. We're very fair. If you feel you're not being taken seriously or your case is not being looked at seriously, take the caller number of the officer. You can make a report. You can report it. You can request your case to be reviewed.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I said to us at the beginning of today's program that by the time we finish listening to Sergeant Michelle, we'll be convinced that the police is our friend. If you're not convinced, I tell you, you need to listen again to all that she has said, all the work that the police force is doing. And I just want to say tonight a big thank you. I really appreciate. I know I kept on bothering you out of your busy schedule, but we are really grateful that you've come up with us today. I'm sure some other people might also, having listened, perhaps feel joined to, you know, call to join the ministry of the police force to help God in ensuring law and order. And of course, if you want that, I can direct you to Sergeant Michelle. Yes, she's my friend. I can let you know, she said also that she was into recruitment at one time, so she could guide you. And perhaps you have a child who has listened or a child who is interested in criminal justice or things like this. Just, it's not too late.
We hope you enjoyed and learned from today's session. Till we come your way again, remember, God hates abuse. There is no excuse for abuse. Like the church, which is you and I, say no to domestic abuse.
Culture and domestic abuse. This is Kada Matters. It's an awareness raising arm of Church Against.